Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I just can't understand.
Oh, me neither. I can't understand.
When I see others more worthy of Jesus than me, yet you love me as small as I am.
Ain't it good, y'all? Ain't you glad the Lord loves you?
And sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps, but when I stumble, He understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am.
Help yourself, brother.
Well, I'm nobody special. I'm no ruler or king. This old world doesn't know who I am. But Jesus walks right beside me, fights my battles and guides me. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. And sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps, but when I stumble, He understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am.
Amen. Amen. Enjoyed that good song? Say amen. Man, I love that song. What a blessing, fellas. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's take our Bible this morning. Take just a moment, if you would. And open to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, way back in the Old Testament, pretty close to the end there. The book of Jonah. And I want to read you a verse. Everyone here knows the story of Jonah, should know the story of Jonah. And we know how that God called Jonah to preach. Jonah run the other way and got himself into a mess. Jonah, we would say, had a bad year. I've heard people say, well, I've had a bad year this year, Brother Danny. It just seems like this year's been bad. Financially, spiritually, physically, just been a bad year. Jonah sort of had a bad time here. In chapter 1, he was running from God. In chapter 2, Jonah is running to God. In chapter 3, Jonah's running with God. That's the only chapter he was right. And in chapter 4, Jonah got ahead of God. And that's a little overview of the book of Jonah. But I meet people every once in a while and they'll say, preacher, pray for me. This has been a bad year. I've had somebody tell me that the other day. He said, boy, this has just been a bad year. Has it been a bad year for you? Would you say, man, this has been a bad year? Physically, financially, emotionally, materially, maybe domestically. It's just been a bad year. Jonah could say that. Been a bad year. But you know what? I want you to look at verse chapter 3 this morning and verse 1. Here's what I want to look at this morning and use that as a thought. And I want to preach this morning on the subject, I'm glad that we can start over. I'm glad we can start over. Look at Jonah 3 verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. saying the second time. Thank God. Ain't you glad God wasn't just through with Jonah? I've heard people say, well, God's all through with that fella. He'll never use. God didn't call somebody else to do Jonah's job. He got, wait till Jonah got straightened out and said, you do it, boy. You're the one I called. You're the one I want to do it. Now get busy and do it. That tells me you've got a job to do nobody else can do. I've got a job to do nobody else can do. We're not much, like Jeremy's saying. We're just small, but we've got something to do that nobody else can do. Now, I'm glad that we get to start over. In everything, I want to talk to you just a minute and then bring you a few thoughts about this morning. Think about how good it is to get to start over. You ever had a bad day? Dumb question. I mean a bad day where it seems like everything goes wrong. You get in a fuss with your wife or your husband. You get in an argument with the kids. You come through the house that morning, stump your toe on something. Something goes wrong. You're not feeling. It's just one thing right after another. And that night you lay down and think, whew, Lord, help me. And then the next morning, you wake up and say, I'm going to try it again. Let's get to start over. Ain't you glad that we get to go to sleep and then start all over and try to do better tomorrow? I'm glad of that, really. Wouldn't you hate for life to be just one big long day for 40 or 50 or 60 or 70? Lord have mercy, kid, kill you. Yeah, you couldn't stand it. It's a blessing to lay down, go to sleep, get your head clear, wake up and say, okay, we're going to try it again. I don't like that for the month. First of the month, try it again. Let's do better this time. And first of the year, it's like it with everything. I'm so glad. I go occasionally during the summer when we're not playing ball, basketball now, I try to keep up a good exercise for it profiteth little. So I do it a little. And I tried to go over to the gym. And I go over to the gym on the Monday morning sometime and run. The preachers play golf. I run. And I was there one day, and I was shooting around. There's this guy. He was a lot bigger than me. And he'd come over and say, want to play one-on-one? And I said, sure. And so we started. And I sized him up, and I thought, he probably ain't, I'll take it easy on him. Here a little bit, start with, and he beat me. I took it easy and let him get a few, and then he beat me. And then I started saying, man. And so I said, all right, let's do another one. He beat me again. And I said, all right, let's do another one. He beat me again. And we played, I think I won one game, he won four. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what's the matter with me? Well, I'm glad I got to start all over. The next time I saw him, he said, you want to play? Son, I schooled him that day. And I said, you know what helped me? Starting over. Wouldn't it be awful if you played sports and you played till you couldn't walk no more? And it was a game, and it was 80 to 30. And then the next week you had to pick up right there, 80 to 30. I'm glad we get to start over. I'm glad we get to wipe the slate clean, start all over, 0-0. Now, let's try this again. I'll beat you this time. It's encouraging to us. See, the Lord let Jonah, he said, all right, Jonah, you get to start over. You know, if the Lord don't come and we live Friday morning, we get to start all over. 2015's gone. It's in the books. The records have been kept. God's done got your record wrote up there. He knows how many church services you was in, how many you missed, what all you done right, what all you done wrong. It's in the record books. Just like an employee fills out a timesheet. I don't think I do that much anymore, but he docks in at 8 o'clock. He checks out at 5. He comes in and punches a clock. God's got your record for the whole year of 2015. And I tell you this morning, I thank God that we're going to get to start over. We get to start over. I've already heard several people saying, all right, okay, I ain't done nothing but eat. It was camp meeting. It was Thanksgiving. Then it's Christmas. I've eat. This is going to stop. Right? Friday morning, I don't know why we got to wait till Friday, but that's what they say. Friday morning, bless God, I'm getting up, I'm going to Ingles, I'm buying salad. All I'm doing is buying salad and nuts and celery and now, because now they got bags of candy stuck here and bags of candy stuck over here, and you know, a little, I'm starting all over Friday morning, and I'm gonna lose. I'll lose a bunch of weight. Everybody makes up their mind to go on a diet. Everybody, and I've even heard people say, "Well, they ain't no use in even starting because I know I won't keep." Listen, if you do it 2 days, it's better than nothing. If you read 10 chapters in your Bible, it's better than not reading any. If you read, if you go to church and serve God and witness some, it's better than not doing it at all. I'm glad we get to start over. So quickly this morning, let me just say that we should start over, first of all, in our love for Jesus. Our love for Jesus. You do realize this morning that everything in your Christian life all comes underneath your love for the Lord. What is the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. You do realize, ladies and gentlemen, if you keep that commandment, the others come easy. You understand that, right? I mean, if you love the Lord like you're supposed to, you'll treat people right. If you love the Lord like you're supposed to, you'll treat your mate right. If you love the Lord like you're supposed to, I believe sometimes we're trying to get people to keep certain laws and do this and that don't love the Lord. And it's hard to do like that. Get down just a hair, brother. Listen, I'm going to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen, our love for the Lord. You know what God told that church there in the first part of Revelation? He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." That first love is hard to keep. And so, let's keep it up this year. You know, I was telling Kelly the other day, I was listening to some preacher, old mountain preacher from up in the mountain somewhere, and you could tell he didn't have no education, but I'm telling you, that guy was hooked up. We're living in a time when people, especially in the ministry, people thought, "Oh, this person has so many degrees and they know Greek and they ain't nothing wrong with that." But buddy, this old boy, he didn't know, he couldn't hardly speak English good, but he was hooked up with God. I mean, he was preaching and you could feel the Lord. I tell you what we better do, people. We better get back to the place where our heart loves Jesus. If your heart loves Jesus, you won't have to worry about your wallet. It'll take care of itself. If your heart loves Jesus, you don't have to worry about treating your mate right. You'll treat them right. If your heart loves Jesus, you don't have to worry about your Bible reading, church attendance. No, everything falls into place. We need to start all over this week and say, "Lord, I love you for what you've done for me. Nobody ever cared for me like you have. Nobody's ever done for me what you've done for me. Lord, it's just as good now as it was when I first got saved." Let's get back to our first love. Start this new year off saying, "I just love the Lord." I send our bus workers text every Friday. Most I try to send them a text, "See you tomorrow. Let's visit hard. Let's do that." And sometimes I get a text back that says, "Yay, let's go. Hallelujah. Amen." And sometimes I get a text back that says, "Oh, we gotta go tomorrow." You know what that? It's a love problem. It's a heart problem. When you love the Lord, you love souls. When your love for Jesus is right, you automatically love people. You automatically treat people right. Our love for Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. I heard about Larry King. No, Larry King. He's a wicked man, but he's an intelligent man. He's very, very smart. He's interviewed some of those famous people in the world. Many of you remember the Larry King show. And they asked Larry King, they said, "Who would you like to interview if you could pick who you could interview over the past?" And he said, "Jesus Christ." And he said, "I'd like to interview Jesus Christ." And they said, "What would you ask him?" And he said, "If I could interview Jesus Christ, I would ask him, was he really born of a virgin?" And he said, "If he was, that the answer to that question defines history." Larry King, not even a believer in the Bible, as far as I know, I think he's Jewish. He said, "The answer to that question defines history and our view of the world." He's right. He's right. If Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and God was his father, everything in the Bible makes sense. It's all true. It's all going to happen like God said that it was. I'm telling you, evolution is a lie. The eternity's what's really important. This life's not really that big a deal. Heaven and hell are real. If Jesus Christ is who He said He was, and I believe He is, everything hinges on that question right there. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we ought to get a new, fresh love for Jesus in this new year. There ain't nothing else worth living for. Nothing else going to satisfy you anyway. Just fall in love all over again with the blessed Lord Jesus Christ and honor Him. Start this new year off right. Amen. That's right, brother. That's right. I know what He did for me when I was 18 years old. I've never got over it. I tell you, the lights won't gone dim and the flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. I know what He did for me when I was 18. He changed me like nobody else could ever change me. He put something inside of me that nothing else ever has. I mean, the Lord's still good this morning, y'all. God's still good. Heaven's still real. Hell's still hot and we ain't going. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good to be saved. That's why we need to start off this new year. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, somebody said, well, I was wanting a white Christmas. You'd have to go way, way far from here. I don't know if I had one in Alaska this year, buddy. It was so cold. It probably did. But anyway, somebody said, Carrie sent me a text the other day, said, 'twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, the air conditioner was running because we live in the South. Amen. Some might have got disappointed. We didn't have a white Christmas of 70 degrees. But I tell you one thing, brother. God was still good, wasn't He? God was still good. I want to say, start the new year off with a love for Jesus. Number two, start the new year off living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. Make up our mind. Let's make up our mind. Let's start all over. It'd start all over in our homes. Hey, all you husbands, wouldn't it be a good idea if all the husbands in here would say, you know what, starting this, you got four more days to be me. Amen. Friday morning, y'all, you start the day. Friday morning, I'm going to start being nice. Do you have the reputation in your house of being hateful? Do all your wife and kids say, don't, you can't talk to that. He's so hateful, he'll bite your head off. And all that. You know, you bring all your problems home and all the burdens home from your job and all that. Leave your job at your job. Enjoy your family. Treat your family right. Start all over and be a good daddy this year. Say amen right there. Hey, all you ladies in here this morning, start out this year saying, you know what? I'm going to be a sweet wife. It don't cost you nothing to be nice. Don't be an old grouchy, hateful, old mean thing all the time. I knew a man one time that walked around the house praying, God let her be in a good mood. God let her be in a good mood. God let her be in a good mood before I. That's pitiful. That's pitiful, brother. Hey, listen. I ain't know you. Hey, it's amazing. You say, well, I'm in a bad mood. It's amazing to me. You get in a good mood when the phone rings and one of your friends calls. Get in a good mood real quick, don't you? I know a lady one time heard she wouldn't even speak to her husband, and he said, "Honey, I said, I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like talking." And the phone rang. Oh, hey, how are you? You know what you call that? Hypocrite. I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I'm telling you, let's make up our mind. We're going to live for Jesus in our home. Live for Jesus in our home. Be nice, husbands. Be nice, wife. Hey, listen, it don't cost you nothing to be nice. You say, well, you don't have to live. What? I know. We all got flesh. Living with yourself's the hardest problem. You, your biggest enemy. You get your own heart right. Get right with the Lord. I know people, if they got divorced from themselves, they might could get along with their mate. Live for Jesus in the home. Raise the kids right. Amen. Raise the kids right. It's time for parents to be parents. Time for parents to be parents. Don't believe this philosophy of, well, he's a child and we've got to let him make his own decisions. And if he don't want to go to church, then that's his decision because we don't want to force it on him and all that. Listen, they make him go to school. You make him go to the dentist. You make him brush his teeth. I mean, make him go to the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and raise your kids for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I tell you what you better do. You better get some Bible in your kids. You better get it in them. You better get it in them, because the world's doing everything it can to take it out of them every day of their life. The world, when they go out that door, the world's trying to suck every bit of the Word of God out of them. You better get it in them. Talk about it while you're going down the road. Put it in your CD player. Let your kids hear you listen to good music. Let them hear you listen to Christian music. Serve God. Do right. The Lord will bless you for it. Get your priorities right. Are you depressed? Get right with God and the Lord will help you. I'm not saying that's always the answer. There are medical conditions, but I'm saying the best way to help your heart be on fire for God is to get it right, get rid of all the sin, do right, and the Lord will help you with the depression. He'll help you with your alcohol addiction. He'll help you with your drug and pill addiction. The Lord will help you sober. If you're drinking, quit drinking. Friday. You'll be a better person. You'll save money. You'll keep your kids from becoming an alcoholic. Nobody can become an alcoholic, don't drink. It's impossible. You cannot become an alcoholic if you don't drink. You know the best way not to become a drug addict? Don't take drugs. I'm not trying to be mean. I ain't trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you because I love you. Listen, start over this week. Leave it off. Leave that stuff off. God will bless you for it. Be an example. Listen, talking about reading your Bible, this is a book worth all other books. No other book has stood the test of time like this book. It has 1,189 chapters. It has 31,175 verses. It has 810,697 words. It has 3,566,480 letters. Most of you eat a good 45 minutes to an hour every day minimum. Most of you. Most people in here today, you time yourself. Time yourself. Time you sit down, time you get up, you eat 20 minutes. Do that three times a day, that's 1 hour. I ain't fussing at you. Do whatever you want to. It's your business. I'm not mad about that. That ain't even a sin if you feed to eat. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can feed that body, you learn to feed that soul. Let your soul. You say, well, I just don't have time. No, it's your choice of priorities. You can leave off some football and have time. You can leave off some basketball and have time. You can leave off some deer hunting and have time. You can leave off some fishing and have time. You can leave off some goof-off time. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong. They're not. I'm just saying, brother, get your priorities right. Put the Word of God right. Amen. Get three chapters a day. Three chapters a day and an extra one every now and then. And you can read the Bible through this year. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It's the Word of God. Have you read Nahum this year? Have you read Habakkuk this year? Listen, I got more out of my Old Testament this year than I ever have. And I've been reading it through since I was, I don't know, 19 or something like that. And I've been reading it through, and I've got more out of it this time than ever. I missed a few years way back yonder, but I don't know more. By the grace of God, by the help of the Lord, the Lord gives me strength, and my eyes are okay, and I can think I'm going to get something from God out of His Word. You want to understand the situation our country's in with ISIS? You know, people don't even understand the difference between a Palestinian and a Jew. They don't understand the difference between God's dealing with Israel and God's dealing with the church. You know how people don't understand what the difference is? Are Muslims and where they occupy over there at the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and all that strip of Israel? Because they do not read the Old Testament. God said, listen, Muslims, Islam came from the union of Abraham and Hagar. Ishmael and Isaac were half brothers. Ishmael became the father of the Islam Muslim states, and Isaac became the father of the Jews. A descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a direct descendant of them, we call Jews. I know there's people that disagree with that, but I'm basing my opinion on the Word of God, not what some historian said that wanted to slant it to meet his own desire. Now, I'm telling you this morning, brother, get in the book. Get in the book. It'll help you vote right. It'll help you look at politics right. It'll help you look at the world situation right. The reason people accept gay marriage this year, they don't read or believe the Bible. The reason we hobnob with the enemies of the world and say all religions are the same, we don't read the Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and there's one way to get to Him, Jesus Christ. It's the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad it's still true in 2015 and 16 if it gets here. Amen. I'm telling you, you ought to live for the Lord. That's right. It'll make you be honest. Somebody said the other day, you know what? We're letting a small group dictate to the rest of the country. You know what's wrong with our country this morning? We're scared that we might offend somebody's religion and they'll attack us, so we're letting down our guard. I think, don't they call that apartheid? Something like that? When a few scare the rest, we got a handful dictating to the whole United States what we can do and what we can't do. I'm not a warmonger. I don't want war. I dread the thought of thinking about it. But I also don't think we ought to just lay down and let somebody come in and ruin our country, our families, our churches. The symbol of America, they said now, is not a bald eagle, it's a plucked chicken. That's a shame and a disgrace. Number three, I'll say this and I'll be done. Not only should love Jesus, not only should live for Jesus, but we ought to labor for Jesus. Greatest thing in the world you can do in 2016 is somehow or another get somebody else saved and take them out of here with you when we go to heaven. We helped people last week. You were here. You saw gifts from there to there. We give away probably close to over 200 gifts, 5 brand new bicycles, help people with power bill, groceries, and everything else. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, what a waste of money. There's a lady saved right there. There's a bunch saved in the junior church. We knew exactly what we was doing. We wanted to make some kids have a brighter Christmas, yes. But the whole point was somebody get saved. Amen. 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 The Lord said one time, we was talking about that scripture the other day, me and Brother Wayne. Somebody said one time, they read that scripture where the Lord said, the greater works than these shall he do. And somebody said, how in the world could you do greater works than that? Raising a dead person, feeding 5,000. Listen, if you take a bus kid and tell them how to get saved, and they really do get born again, get saved, that's a greater miracle than a person coming back from the dead. Because that person's going to die again. Them hungry people's going to get hungry again, them people that you feed. There ain't no greater miracle than seeing somebody else miss hell and go to heaven when they die. You know what I want to do? I want to do it. How about you? Let's make up our mind. We're going to do what we can to keep somebody else out of hell. We went Christmas caroling Monday night. I wish all of you could have went. It was so much fun. I mean, it was just like old time. Bus tore up, everything. Great. I mean, we were bonding, making memories. That's what somebody said. We went out Christmas caroling. We went over at the rest home and sang. There's a 97-year-old. You really should have went. You'd have had a better Christmas. You really should. You just missed it. 97-year-old lady sitting there. She said, talk just as plain as me, almost. I'll be 97, 98, my birthday in June, she said. And I said, little sister, you must have done something right. And we was talking to her, and we prayed with them. Then went to Walmart, and we got in a corner down there where there's a store out of business. I said, I don't think they'll get us in here. We took the guitar out, and we sang songs. He said, you mean to tell me that y'all got out and sang right in front of me? Sure, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you do it in here, you don't do it out there, right? You no hypocrite, are you? You don't leave your religion in here when you leave, I hope. You ain't got much if you do. And then there was people coming by, rolling the windows down, waving, saying Merry Christmas. Some woman give Kelly $5. She did. I said, Kelly, you took that poor woman's money. She said, she made me. She kept on and on and on. Yeah, you made me like she takes mine. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She kept on and on and on until she finally took it. And then we got over there to Western Carolina, and the bus tore up. I said, glory to God. It's been a long time since I've been stranded on a bus. And these ladies there, where you at? Lisa, there. That girl right there. She come and got John, brought him over here and got another bus. And come and got us, and we had time, we had fun. You know what? We passed out tracts. We witnessed. We went in one store, inside the store. And the guy said, I really enjoyed that. We sung inside the store. Hallelujah! Listen, if you're ashamed of a preacher preaching outside, I don't want to disappoint you, but every preacher in the Bible was a street preacher, including Jesus. Amen? Labor for the Lord. Labor for the Lord. I had a guy tell me yesterday, I was witnessing yesterday, this guy said, I'm 52 years old. I said, you going to church regularly? He said, no, I need to get back in there. He said, I done had a heart attack. I said, you better get in church. He said, I done had this. He said, something wrong with my hand. I said, you better get in church. He said, I know what I need to get back. Listen, people, if a man's had a heart attack, you wouldn't have to beg me to go to church next Sunday if I thought I could die any day, and I could. What in the world's wrong with me? He said, well, I just want to do this and that. Listen, if I thought I could die of a heart attack any second, I'd find myself in the house of God on Sunday. Amen? Put everything else aside. If I thought, and you could die any moment. You could. Amen. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said years ago, there's a man lived in this country, and it was a country where they didn't allow Christian music. And he got Handel's Messiah, you know, the Messiah, and he had it on. And he'd sit down at the table and go over the words and the music with his hands and play it in his head. It's very important. I ain't got time to preach on this. It's very important what kind of music you let yourself listen to. It's extreme. Here we go again. Yeah, here we go again. So some of you ain't got it yet. You still think you can pour trash in your mind all the time and think straight, and you can't. It's impossible. You can't listen to the wrong kind of music and be the right kind of person. It's impossible. It can't be done. I don't care how good you like it. Some people like crystal meth. Don't mean nothing. I'm telling you, labor for the Lord. Fill your heart with good. Whatever you put in, it'll come out. Whatever comes in you, it'll clean your mind. The Word of God, clean. You hear it enough out there without even trying, without deliberately going down the road listening to it. Amen? Go soul winning. Take somebody out with you. Somebody said this years ago. He said, I don't care who writes a nation's laws if I can write their music. He said, I don't care who writes a nation's laws if I can write the music. You know why we got such lawlessness in our country today? It ain't because of guns. 300 million guns or something in America. It ain't because of guns. It's because of lawlessness, the wicked music and dirt and the filth we feed our minds. You say, well, how come people are so violent today? Because that's all we put into them. I said, if guns cause people to get killed, pencils cause kids to fail tests. Ain't the pencil. And the reason there's so much violence today, brother, is because there's so much junk poured into us. I'll say this and I'm through. Old Fanny Crosby said one time, many people will hear a song that won't read a sermon or hear a sermon and get saved. They asked the man one time how his cows got lost. I said, you lose a cow every now and then? He said, yeah. And he said, how's your cows get lost? All these cows together, do they just say, all right, bye, and they run off out yonder in the woods? He said, no. He said, they see a little bit of grass over here, and they nibble. And then they see a little bit more there, and they nibble. And they see a little bit more there, and that even looks better, and they nibble. And that even looks better. There's an apple. All right, see? There's some pretty grass. And they keep nibbling and nibbling and nibbling. And nibbling, and then they look up and then the crowd's gone. That's exactly the way church people do. You nibble. You go see a movie this weekend. You miss church the next weekend. You're just nibbling. Nibbling. Next thing you know, you're listening to. Next thing you know, you watch a little something worse on TV. Next thing you know, you watch a little something. You're just nibbling. And the first thing you know, you look up and you're out. I'm glad we get to start all over. I'm glad that we can make up our mind. I'm going to do like Jonah. The word of the Lord come to me a second time. I'm going to try it again. Like I did when that guy beat me in basketball. I didn't get mad and say, well, I don't quit. We're going to start all over and we're going to try this again. Let's let the past be the past. Everybody forgive everybody of everything right now. Boom! Out the door, right? No hard feelings against nobody. You got somebody in the church you need to forgive or out of the church? Well, I don't hate them, but, you know, okay, we know you got hard feelings and you don't want to admit it. Right now, forgive. If I can forgive Jeremy for the way he does me, I'm just kidding. No, he does me right. I appreciate him. If you can forgive that person you're mad at. You can't have this many people in here not bump into each other. In your home, work, church, let's all right now say, we're going to start all over. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. I'm glad that we can start over. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Maybe there'd be those here this morning that would say, preacher, man, I ain't done too hot this year. By the grace of God. What about, I'm going to make it church every Sunday in 2016. Every week. Do my job. Teach my class. Run my bus route. Raise my kid. I'm going to get in there. Start all over. Come on. Come on. Let's get in this altar this morning. Let's just crowd into this altar this morning and say, you know what? I need to just start all over. Read my Bible. Pray. That's right. That's right. Others. Thank God for these men coming. Thank God for men coming. Thank God for ladies coming. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's good. Make up your mind right now. By the help of the Lord, preacher, I'm going to do right. Father, help us this morning. God, do what ought to be done. Help me. Forgive me of everything I've done wrong this whole year. I've failed you a million times. Lord, forgive me. And help me, Lord, to do better in the coming year. God, be a better preacher, a better daddy, a better husband, a better man, a better church member, a better witness, a better soul winner. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Help us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this morning. You come.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God.
Jesus is calling.
Hallelujah.
Calling for you and for me.
Everybody, heaven sing now.
Sing on the porch.
Amen. Come on.
He's waiting and watching.
Sing.
Watching for you and for me.
Everybody, come on now. Sing now.
God.